We are going to be continuing in our series here through the book of Revelation, and we're going to be in chapter 13 today, chapter 13. So whether you're joining in the sanctuary here or whether you're joining online, go ahead and grab your Bible and let's turn to Revelation chapter 13, last book of the Bible, 13th chapter. Last week we got back into the series here. And so we had an overview message last week of basically chapter 4 through 13 or so. If you want to listen to that overview, if you didn't get a chance, make sure you do that. That should be listed on YouTube there. And on YouTube, you're going to find the link for listening to the audio messages of this series right on our website, victorybaptistharvey.com. Let's look here at the scripture, chapter 13 of Revelation. And we'll begin here with verse number 1, Revelation 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads," that's the head of this beast, "I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray you'd help us as we dive into the scripture. Give us understanding and wisdom. Lord, help us to apply what we've read here to our lives. Help us to understand the scenario and the perilous times of these last days. Father, we do pray that you would help the gospel as well to be clear, Lord, that everyone, anyone who, whether watching even now live or joining here or at a later date even tuning in to this recording, that they, if they don't know Christ, that they might realize their dire need to turn to the Lord Jesus before it is too late. And that even before this message were to be over, they would, in their hearts, call upon the Lord Jesus to save them and cleanse them from their sin. Lord, we thank you that you are still saving sinners. And even as we are reading here about events yet to come, during this time, there will still be opportunity for those people on this earth to call on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And many will during this tribulation period, although they will suffer greatly because of that. But we thank you for the day in which we live. We pray that you'd help us to be alert to the times. Bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is the Antichrist? Well, first of all, I want to help you understand that the beast we read about here, that it says in verse 1, "I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." First of all, I'd like to point out that the sea here is, I believe, figurative in speaking of the mass of humanity. Out of the general public, the population of the nations, rises this individual. He's called a beast. This is specifically referring to a savage type of wild animal. And indeed, the Antichrist is a savage, fierce individual. A human being, not an animal, a human being, but described here as an animal in the sense that he's called a beast. So he rises up out of the obscurity of the masses of humanity. I believe that there is very good possibility that the who will be the Antichrist is even alive today. It's very possible. When he comes on the scene, he will be an adult. He will be a full-grown man with a fair amount of history under his belt. And so it's very possible that in our world today, this individual is growing up or is in his 20s. I don't know. I'm not making any predictions. I'm just saying that's indeed possible. The Antichrist. And so I want to make note here that the word Antichrist means against or instead of. Against or instead of. He is going to be both of those aspects of the definition. He is going to be against Christ, but he's also going to come in the place of Christ as an imposter, as a fraud. And so both of these meanings will be blatantly true because he is going to blatantly oppose Christ at the same time as which he will insert himself as Messiah, the Antichrist. Dr. David Jeremiah made this statement. He said that, as he observed the texts of Scripture, he said, more than 100 passages of Scripture describe this ominous person, the Antichrist. More than 100 passages. The term Antichrist is only found 4 times in the Scripture, that very word. And of those times, only one refers to this individual Antichrist. Consider 1 John in your Bible. That's right just to back a few pages, really, to 1 John chapter 2. Let's notice there. 1 John chapter 2, let's look at verse 18. As the Apostle John, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, pens these words, he says in verse 18, he says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. John argues here, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we are in the last days. Now this was 2,000 years ago, approximately, a little less maybe, but wherein John penned these words. And he observed that it was the last times then. And he observed as well that there were many antichrists. In other words, there was much opposition to Christ, to Jesus. And boy, we see that today still. And yet, we see opposition to Christ, opposition to the Bible, opposition to truth itself. There are many false prophets who have gone into the world. The devil is into all sorts of religion. He is a very deceptive in using religion to hinder people from finding true salvation in Jesus alone. And so, yes, there are many antichrists. The spirit of Antichrist certainly is throughout this world. But I want you to notice there in verse 18, John identifies that there is an individual who will be the Antichrist. Verse 18 says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Antichrist shall come. One day, all that is against Christ, all that is horrible and horrific and demonic and in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ will be embodied in an individual, the Antichrist. He will be a very savage, horrible creature, but will not be so obvious. Let's notice, while we're here in 1 John, let's notice verse 22. Verse 22 references here Antichrist. The word is used. Verse 22, who is a liar. But he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Okay, so that's in a general sense, right, of anyone who denies the Lord Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah. He is against Christ. He is Antichrist. So that's in a general sense. Now notice also 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 John 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. All right. So clearly there's a spirit of Antichrist, the opposition to the Lord from the first generation, from the first century A.D. That opposition has continued. 2 John, just a few pages, maybe one page over. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 7. The Bible says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Okay, so there are all the instances where we see the word, the term antichrist, and only 1 John 2:18, which we first read, speaks directly to that individual who will come and embody that spirit. All right? So it will one day, the spirit of Antichrist will one day be concentrated in one person. A very sinister person. In Revelation 13:1, we'll go back over there to our passage. Revelation 13 and verse 1. The Bible says that he is called here a beast, a wild, savage animal rising up out of the sea, out of the obscurity of the mass of humanity. I could take more time to talk about that, but I better keep moving because we want to see who the Antichrist is. Well, what are some of his aliases? Let's notice 2 Thessalonians. That's not too far from where we are. 2 Thessalonians. Maybe 20 pages back, you'll find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. This passage talks about the Antichrist and gives some of his aliases. 2 Thess 2, verse 3. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, speaking of the second coming of the Lord, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Here's an alias. He's called man of sin. This is the Antichrist. So he will be revealed. The son of perdition. Perdition means damnation. Son of damnation. He will come. He will be revealed in his time. So we can see him referred to this man of sin, son of perdition. Notice verse 8 right down here, chapter 2 of Thessalonians here in verse 8. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. It fast forwards right to his destruction at the end of the tribulation. So I want you to see here he's called that wicked, for he is a corrupt and wicked individual. If we looked at some other scriptures, we could see a number of different terms by which he's talked about. I won't have you turn to this one, but in Daniel 7, verse 8, he is called there illustratively. He's called a little horn that rises out of the midst of 10 horns, which are kings. And he's going to rise up and overthrow 3 of them in his rise to power. And so he's called a little horn. I think that emphasizes his rise from obscurity. In other words, he could very well be in the world today, growing, walking, doing business and whatnot, and no one would know, okay, because it's not time for him to be revealed. And perhaps he has not yet been controlled by the devil like he will be when he is functioning on the devil's behalf as Antichrist. So, his aliases. Now, I want you to look at another aspect of who the Antichrist is. I want to look at his time. His time. When will he appear? When is he coming? What will be the time of this horrible individual to be on planet Earth? Well, it's going to be in the tribulation period, in the 7 years of the tribulation period. I hope you have your Bible there in 2 Thessalonians still. If you do, go ahead and look at chapter 2 here and verse number 6. It says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." So, there is someone who is restraining wickedness from just absolutely taking control of our whole world. And it is the Holy Spirit. I believe, very, very clearly, it's the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Spirit of God which indwells the people of God. So notice that. "Now we know what withholdeth," speaking of the Holy Spirit indwelling his people, "that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth," or he who now restrains, "will restrain." The word "let" means to hold back or restrain. "So he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed." So his timing. I want you to notice here, let's look on the slide on there, and we can see the Antichrist is going to come and be revealed. There's going to be a great falling away first. There's going to be the rapture of the church, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So a great falling away. The Bible teaches that there is going to be this falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." In verse 1, it's talking about the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes to gather his church, his bride. Okay? Now, the Thessalonians had they had some concern because of the trials they were facing. They thought that maybe they were already in the tribulation period, right? They thought they were already in that time of immense trouble and trial and judgment because things were really hard. There was much persecution. As Paul writes to them, he says, in verse 2, he says, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Verse 1 is talking about the rapture. Verse 2 is talking about when Christ comes to rule and reign. Those events are separate and separated by 7 years of time. Jesus will come and secretly snatch his church, his bride, away. And then 7 years later, we will return to rule and reign. Revelation 19 talks about that coming, that second coming. And so he writes to them basically to say, you're not in the tribulation, you Thessalonians. Don't be troubled about that. You're not in the tribulation. Verse 2, the day of Christ is not at hand yet. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, in other words, the day of Christ, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. great apostasy, a great falling away, a time where across the globe, worldwide, people are going to be turning away from the biblical faith. The great apostasy, this falling away. Now, there have been people apostatizing and falling away and turning from the faith for years, for generations, for centuries. But this is going to be a time when globally it is going to be worse than it ever was before. A turning away. Now, not necessarily turning away from religion, but turning away from true faith. All right? And then shall that wicked be revealed. Okay, so this falling away. Then Christ is going to come for his own. He's going to come for us. And then that wicked will be revealed. Notice back down here in verse 7. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." The corrupt one certainly is at work in this world. "Only he who now restrains," again speaking of the Holy Spirit, "he who is restraining the wicked one and the wickedness of this world will restrain until he be taken out of the way." I believe that is in the rapture. When all of God's people are going to be snatched out of this world. Friends, when Christ returns in the rapture, he's going to take everyone who knows Jesus. Absolutely everyone. There will be no believer left behind. Not a one. Everyone will go to be with Jesus. And then, oh, the wicked one will have just unhindered access to work his deceptions and corruptions and to rally a world to blaspheme God, to try to overthrow God himself. And one of the devil's key people is going to be the Antichrist, that wicked who will be revealed in his time. All right? So a falling away, the rapture, and then that wicked one. All right? Now, I can see that my time is evaporating here. And so we're going to have to just touch on one more short point, and then we'll have to pick up in part two. I'm sorry about that. I wanted to get to more of the identity of the Antichrist. But let's look at his power next, the power of the Antichrist. Let's go back to our text in Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. Notice as the scripture records in verse 2. It says, "And the beast," which of course this beast is the Antichrist. That's clear if you look at the broader context. "And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard." It gives some description here, which we won't have time to talk about. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And notice now, "And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." The dragon gave him his power. You say, well, who is the dragon? Well, look at chapter 12, the previous chapter. Chapter 12, notice two verses here. Verse 3, first of all, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven." This is an allegory here. "There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his heads." All right, so this great red dragon. Now look at verse 9, chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "And the great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels," demons, fallen angels, "were cast out with him." So there's this dragon, this great red dragon, is the devil, all right? There's no question of his identity. And that's who, in chapter 13, verse 2, gives power to the Antichrist, this beast, this sinister individual who will rise out of obscurity and who will be largely a political figure, okay? The Antichrist will largely be political, and he will be very eloquent. He will be in many ways very likable. So we'll have to pick up there. You know, I am so thankful that God is in control. We can see in our world a growing apostasy. You know, are we in the days of the great apostasy? We're close if we aren't. I don't know, but I do know that we are in the last days and we are closer now than we have ever been. Do you know the Savior? God is still saving souls. One day, soon, he will return. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus? You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to die without Christ. Maybe you're joining online this morning. You can be saved by trusting Jesus. Yes, you can. You can contact us if you'd like more information. We'd love to help you, actually. We'd love to send you a little booklet or a tract. We want to be a help and a blessing to you, answer questions that you have. This has been part one of Who is the Antichrist? Lord willing, next week we'll dive into part two.